Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bewitching Book Tours Blog Talk Radio. I am G.L. Ross, your host. Today's guest is USA Today best-selling author Elania Alder. Welcome, Elania. How are you?
Thanks. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. It's our pleasure. So where are you calling in from today for our interview?
I'm calling in from Moyock, North Carolina, which is right on the Virginia border, and I have my windows open, and it is a gorgeous day today.
Oh, I love it when the sun's shining. I'm here in Texas, but today's actually a great day. The sun's shining, and it's not so hot that you're sweltering like I'm afraid our summer's going to be after we had such a mild winter. Well, Are you the only one sitting in there at your home, or do you have kiddos running around or pets? Tell us kind of what about your home life and your hobbies.
Well, it's just me here at the house except for my cat, Bailey. If you know or if you've been on my blog or on Facebook, you know that he kind of runs the house. He has his little routine that I have to follow. So, right now he is perched behind me in his little cat bed in the window that I had to open for him. But he's been a favorite of my readers for a while now. He's always mentioned on my blog. And then recently when I think I just did my video blog last week, and he actually crashed the video. He jumped up on the desk, got on my shoulder, and was like pawing in my hair. And at first I was just going to be like, you know what, I'm going to edit that out. I was like, I'm not going to show everybody this. But I kind of decided, you know what, this is me, and the whole point of these chit-chat videos that I do on YouTube is for people to, you know, kind of get to know me. And I left it in there, and of course, like, all the comments that I got back was, when are we going to see more Bailey? Can you see more Bailey? Can we get Bailey videos? And I'm like, I was in that video too, guys.
Bailey's going to have his own blog.
Oh, I know. So I tell people, you know, thanks for buying my books because you're just, you know, contributing to the habit of me spoiling my cat. So,
well, now, where do you like to do your writing? You were talking about the windows open, and is it he or she, Bailey?
It's a he.
A he, okay. And he's in there with you. You have like an office set up, or do you have a sunroom, or how do you like to go about writing your fabulous books?
Well, I do have an office, and I started a board on Pinterest, and it's basically going to be like Elena behind the scenes, and it's going to have pictures of my workshop and my desk and my office. So I do have an office, and for the most part, I do write at my desk, but lately, like, my hands and my hips have been bothering me. I think it's because I'm not used to sitting and just, you know, for hours on end.
Right.
Because when I sit down and I start writing, I'll look up and it'll be 8-10 hours later, and then I'm like, oh,
exactly.
You know, I gotta eat, I gotta move. So, but it alternates. Sometimes I write up here, and then I want to say book 5, I actually wrote from my recliner downstairs. I had the laptop in my lap, I was reclined back, I was more comfortable, my legs weren't bothering me. So I just think it depends on what my body's telling me, like, hey, we've had enough of your office chair, go downstairs and relax a little bit. And it also, I've noticed when I was downstairs, it was a lot easier. It like, before I knew it, I hit my word count, and then I'm like, oh, I can relax for a little bit. And I looked up, and the time, you know, it was still early, and I'm like, well, I could get a couple more words in. So, but I feel like when I'm up here, I kind of get distracted because this is also, I have a business, so I'm tempted to just, you know, every time I see a little indicator on my mail, I'm like, oh, what, did that cover come in, or did I hear back from the editor, or, you know, did I get an email back from this person? So I'm so tempted to kind of split off and do some business-related stuff, so I think, honestly, I did a little bit better downstairs.
I understand it's easy to get distracted when you have life going on around you and you want to just focus in on your story. Well, you mentioned your bookcase or something in your office.
Yes.
I got the biggest kick on reading your website, which, readers, please go visit her website. It is awesome. It cracks me up where you're talking about your bookcase goes everywhere from Japanese flashcards to microbiology study guides to Louisa May Alcott. So kind of tell us about your bookcase. Are you like into collecting books or is that a hobby of yours?
I guess you could almost say I'm into collecting hobbies. And this goes back to even before I started writing. I didn't really have a traditional college experience. I ended up, because I'm such a homebody, I ended up going to a community college. And I loved it because it was like 10 minutes from the house. I could drive, go, come back. I worked part-time. It was great. Well, I remember going in one semester to register for classes. And the woman, and I had seen her for like 4 years. Yes, it was 4 years for a two-year degree. But so I saw her, and she looked at me, and she goes, no. And I said, excuse me? And she's like, no, come with me. And she walked me over to admissions office, and she actually made me sign up for admissions to a transfer to a four-year college. She's like, you've run out of classes to take here. And that's what
funny.
I did. I took everything. I took every science, every history. I think the only thing I didn't take at the community college was like horticulture and automotive. but religion. And you know what's funny is the one class that I dropped was creative writing.
Oh my gracious. That is
so
funny.
Yeah, so my bookcase is kind of reflective of that in that I love learning. I love learning about different things and different, you know, especially history. To me, history is nothing but one big story. And
sure,
just depending on the class that you take, you just get a different perspective. And so, yeah, I have textbooks. I have flashcards. And then I also am a huge, huge fan of the whatever for dummies. Like,
I have
a huge, like, a whole shelf on my bookcase that is black and yellow. And it just depends on whatever content. Like, I bought a DSL or the DSLR camera because I wanted to learn how to use my Canon. So I have something like that. And then I have something for QuickBooks. So it's not necessarily all, you know, it's not all, like, academic. There are some, like, business-related stuff in there, too, because I'm still learning as I explore this industry. But, yeah, I have it's everything that you could possibly think of. And as much as I prefer, like, if I'm pleasure reading, I love e-books. But if I have to learn something, I have to have a paper copy. Like, I have to
I'm
have
like
a reference
too.
Book.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
I don't know whether
like
because
to
I want to smell.
I like to dog-ear
or,
the pages and write in the book. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I kept all my textbooks.
Well, I don't blame you. It's and the thing is, with the variety of classes you've taken, that probably helps you in your writing, knowing a little bit about so much.
Well, yeah, and that's like on the website, you know, jack of all trades but a master of none. I think I did touch on this on the video that I just did last week. Somebody asked me, what would be advice for an upcoming, you know, if you had to give advice to a young writer, what would you say?
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, diversify your education, because the one question that I get all the time is, they're like, should I major in English? Should I be an English major? And I'm like, not necessarily. I was a biology major, actually.
Okay.
I was like, so I the one piece of advice I gave them was, actually, if you're going to, even if you were to go to a traditional publisher, I still think you should be a business major and, you know, couple that with marketing or graphic design or something that would actually bolster what you're going to be doing in addition to writing. Because like I said in the video, is if you have that spark and if you have that story that is in you, you know, being an English major will help. It'll definitely help and you'll have a great first draft. And that's why I tell people, you will have an amazing first draft. But that's why I have an editor. I probably have some of the worst grammar that I know of. Because everyone's like, oh, you must be great at English. No, I'm really not. But I have a wonderful editor. So, but yeah, that was one of the questions I got for the video is, you know, what would you tell an aspiring writer? I said, diversify your education because that's going to help you build worlds. How are you going to understand how, like, if you are, let's say if you're going into fantasy or paranormal and you have to world build, how are you going to make it a realistic world if you don't understand, like, government and societal structure or how, you know, the impacts of religion or art or whatever? So the more that you understand about different aspects, the richer an environment that you can create. And you may not necessarily put every single detail of your world in that manuscript, but you know it. So yeah, a lot of people
Go ahead.
I was going to say, a lot of people just get so wrapped up with the English degree, and I'm like, it's great, but it's not mandatory. You don't have to worry about, you know, being an English major. You can actually get a marketable degree in business and marketing and still make this work, because even if you go traditionally published, you still have to do all of your own promo. You still have to manage your own social media. And so that's where I think a lot of people, they are like you said, like your reaction when they heard I dropped out of creative writing. Because it's not mandatory. You really don't need it. So
no, you have the story within you. So that's all you need. Obviously, you're very, very creative to turn around and hit the USA Today bestsellers list. Now, which of your books first hit the USA Today bestseller list?
I think it was the third one, My Healer. Funny story. I've sort of been writing, and I think this is on my website. I've been doing, like, little excerpts or character ideas, and I have stuff going back to when I was 6 years old. It's written in marker, but I kept all of these little scrap pieces of paper. So I've been doing this ever since I was a kid. Like, my brother used to love playing with me because I would create these huge, elaborate stories for us to act out and fight and whatever. So I've been doing this all my life.
I love it.
It wasn't until the end of 2014, I got a option from my company I'd been with for almost 10 years. I was actually an operations manager. I was in upper management. And they said, hey, we want to give you a team. We want you to build this Asia-Pac team. We want to do this, and this. Or you can take a severance package. And as I said, it's just me in the house. I have a mortgage. And so I had this blind moment of panic. And I was like, so how much is the severance package? So I calculated the numbers. And the package was just enough to cover 2 months of bills. So I told them, yes, I will take the severance package. I think my last day was sometime in August or September of 14. I wrote my commander in September. It released in October.
Wow.
So I wrote it in like less than a month. It released in October.
Did you independently publish it?
Yep. The whole Bewitched and Bewildered series is indie published.
Okay, that's
so
what I thought.
I turned around because I knew I had to have the book out by October, because with the way Amazon works, it's a 2 month rolling to get your first paycheck, and that would be exactly when my severance package was running.
Boy, you did figure it all out.
Oh yeah, I did. When I said I crunched the numbers, I crunched the numbers. Then I turned around and I had My Protector was done. I had released that a month and a half later. That was a December of 14 release. So those two books came out in 14 within months of my layoff. And that's what got me started. I didn't even have enough money to pay for editing. I had to rely on my beta readers to help me. So by the time book three rolled around, I think that was February of 15, I made enough money on that book that I could actually go back and pay for editing, and that was the book that hit the USA Today for the first time.
Wow, what a great story. I mean, so the Bewitched, this series, the Bewitched and Bewildered series, was that your first series that was ever published?
No, that's the first series that I did, like, self-published, like, indie published.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, in 2013, I actually released, I think it was 6 or 7 books through Siren. They were a little shorter romance novels, and that kind of got my feet wet. So
right.
That, I honestly think if I had not had that experience in 2013, I know for a fact I wouldn't have taken the 7th package to do self-publishing. But because I got to see what went into, you know, getting a novel published, I was like, you know, I can do this. I've been in the business environment for 10 years. The only really, the three or four main aspects of a novel, of course, is writing it, editing it, formatting it, getting the cover, and getting it uploaded. And I'm like, I could do all that.
Right.
So, but because I had the experience with the smaller publisher, I was able to know what questions to ask. That's the hardest part, I think, people don't realize, is you don't know what you don't know.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
So that gave me just enough exposure to kind of highlight what I didn't know. So I knew what questions to ask, and I was not shy because I knew I had to make this work. And so I was reaching out to known authors like Calypso Masters and S.B. Smith, and I'm like, hey, how does this work?
Good for you.
What do you use for this? And because I had met S.B. Smith at RomCon, I think in 2013, and I was going back and forth with Calypso Masters for a while before that. So I reached out to them, got my answers, and that's the other thing I tell new writers is don't be afraid to ask. A lot of times, especially in the indie industry, we all started from somewhere, and I love paying it forward because, like I just said, people help me. So if you know, I've taken the time out. I have actually done Skype sessions with budding authors, and I'm like,
good for
basically,
you.
Basically, here's what I've learned, and but yeah, if somebody hadn't done it for me, you know, I wouldn't be here. So definitely,
I completely agree.
Don't
that same here.
You know, if you're thinking about writing or if you have questions, don't be afraid to just reach out and ask.
And I love that on your website you even have a question and answer for first time indie authors wanting to learn about it. You give your helpful hints. Well, before we lose all our time talking about this, everything else, you're so interesting. I love talking to you. Tell us about, explain the Bewitched and Bewildered series, and then we'll get into My Defender, the most recent release. So kind of tell us about the Bewitched and Bewildered series, please.
I love talking about the origination of this series because it was literally like, I call it like my Friday night crock pot. And because usually at my house on Friday, I clean out the fridge and I make like a big pot of soup. Basically, you just throw everything in and you get what you get for dinner.
Right.
And so I actually sat down with index cards and I wrote down different aspects that I personally loved about the paranormal genre. So I love bear shifters. I love quirky personalities. I love fated mates. And I took every single aspect that I loved and I stacked it up in a set of cards. And that's where my commander came from. I literally took everything that I loved about paranormal and put it into one book. So I kind of took that kind of premise for the whole series. Like every time I go to write something, I want to do it to something that either I'm responding to something that I love about the like that genre, or I'm actually responding to something I don't like, and I'm putting my spin on it. I don't know how many times I read a book, and I'm like, why didn't they just ask that question? You know, why didn't they just do that in chapter 2? You know, so all the little things that I didn't like about writing, I went back and addressed. Like, one of them I have coming up, especially with Marin, she's the main character of My Commander. Some of the things that, like, I didn't see when I was a reader, I wanted to see as a writer. Like they say, write the book you want to read. So for me, I hadn't really read a main character that was like me. You know, I'm small, but I'm not cute. I'm not, you know, I'm kind of bitchy. I'm not personable. I'm introverted. I'm not, you know, I'm not very social. And a lot of times when you read about a petite character, she's cute, she's bubbly, she's fun. And Mary's
right.
a bit psychotic. She's like, don't mess with me. You know, I'm not cute. I don't like you. Go away. And
right.
but when I put that book out, I'm like, they're going to hate it. They're absolutely going to hate it. And then I got a flood of emails. They're like, oh, my God, I love Maren. She's just like me. She's just
oh.
like me. She's just like me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how many readers were out there who felt the same way that I did about not
right.
seeing that type of character, who's smart and didn't rely on the main character, or on the alpha male to save her. She, in fact, turned around
right.
and saved his butt. So, you know, that whole helpless damsel in distress, no,
right.
she had a gun, she knew how to use it kind of a thing. So, you know, she was relying on intellect. She wasn't relying on her sex appeal. So
mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to make it so that she was quirky and smart and introverted and geeky, and I wanted that to be celebrated. So,
right.
yeah, when I first put that book out, I'm like, they're not going to like her. They're not going to like her. I'm like, who? I was like, this is just a reflection of me. I was very selfish when I wrote that book because, like I said, that book was everything I loved about the paranormal industry or the genre.
Right.
So I kind of carried that through the series, especially to my defender, which is, I think we're, gosh, oh, my gosh, I'm in book 8 right now.
Yes.
And
congrats.
Yeah, so thank you. But Ellie, I did the same thing. She's a thick girl. She's a bigger girl. And I was so tired of seeing the trope of, oh, I don't feel good about myself. And
right.
I need him to build up my, you know. And it's there to a certain degree, but in the book, you actually see her put the two and two together. He has to lead her that way, but he showed her more with action than he just gave her lip service. It touches a little bit on depression, and I just wanted to kind of bring some of this up to and make it conversationable and get people talking about it. But I didn't want it to be, you know, a lot of times you see the big girl kind of storyline, and it's all
right.
about her embracing her sexuality and finding out she's beautiful and grabbing the alpha and you know.
Right.
And that wasn't what this was about. I almost wanted it to be secondary to what was
sure.
going on in the story. So, but I've done that. I've tried to do that with every single book that I write. I'll take an aspect that I'm like, you know what? I don't really agree with that. I want to put my spin on it. And
mm-hmm.
with each book, I've tried to do that.
Well, obviously, it's working for you because, I mean, all these books are becoming huge hits.
Mm-hmm.
If I know my defender, it releases April 25th. I believe.
Yep.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
The book 8 in the series. If our readers, they have time, obviously, our listeners, to go catch up with books 1 through 7 if they haven't read them already, where are they published on all ebook sites, or where could they find the first 7 books to catch up?
They are all going to be on Amazon, iTunes, Kobo, and Nook. And if they wait, next Monday, the 24th, I'm actually running a sale, so you can pick up my Commander for 99 cents.
I usually try
to do that a couple of times a year, you know, just so if people are kind of sitting the fence and they don't know if that's going to be their cup of tea, they can try it for 99 cents, and it's a lot cheaper than paying, you know, full price for the book. But, yeah, it's available on those 4 platforms, and I think the first 6 are available in print as well.
Okay. Now, is each book a standalone, or does the series continue on in each book?
Each book is its own standalone in that the couple has their happily ever after, and whatever they're working towards is basically, it may not be solved, but it's definitely identified and handled to the best of that couple's ability. What I try to do is I try to tie the books together with this overarching problem. So it really ties everything together. So that and Marin. Marin kind of appears in every single book. So,
okay.
You know, if you love her, you will love the books because she's in all of them, which goes back to the thing where I was like, one of the things I didn't like about reading series books is you fall in love with, like, that first couple, and
yes.
you never see them again.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You go to book two, and you read about the alpha's brother, and you're like, oh, yeah, talk about your brother. How are they doing? How's he doing
right.
with the mate? And then you never see them again. So
I tried
to keep all my characters in the mix.
Right.
And I'm on book eight, so that's almost 16 couples that I'm juggling, or 16
wow.
individuals, eight couples that I'm juggling. So yeah, it makes some of the dialogue and scenes a bit interesting. So,
yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, I in my Flyboy series, I have like eight individual guys, but they're not all paired up yet. So I can't even fathom
mm-hmm.
having 16, you know, people that you're trying to deal with and all of that, with all the couples going on.
Mm-hmm.
Of the books in the series, do you have a favorite?
I actually have two. I think My Commander is my favorite just because of all the backstory, like behind-the-scenes stuff that went into it about it being the first self-published book. And, of course, that was the birth of Marin, and she has turned into an epic character for me. But
mm-hmm.
my second favorite is My Brother's Keeper. It's book five. It features Kendrick, who is a male witch. And he is, like, almost a male version of Marin, which is probably why I had so much fun writing him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those two are my favorite because they literally just don't care. And I know that
right.
sounds a bit strange, but in the book, you know, you get these long convoluted, you know, well, we can't do this way, you know, we can't do this and because of this politics. And you have somebody like Marin who just cuts through the center of it and just ends up shooting somebody and all the problems are solved, you know. It's just like she just cuts away anything that's just not important, and she handles
mm-hmm.
the situation the same way with Kendra. He is, you know, a lot of times I'll be writing, and they'll say, well, you can't do that, and he'll be like, why not?
Right.
You know, so...
Well, now, have you always been a paranormal fan?
Actually, no. I didn't even start reading paranormal until I was in my 20s. Growing up,
okay.
I actually was a big fantasy reader, so like Orson Scott Card, David Eddings, Anne McCaffrey... Mercedes Lackey, like the big epic, you know, fantasy books. I didn't find my first paranormal, or especially my first paranormal romance, until I think I was like 23, and it was Christine Fahan. And I remember it to this day because I read book three first, and I never read a book, like I never read out of order in a series.
Right.
But I didn't know that it was part of a larger series, so I read book three first and then had to go back. And then I remember going, wow, this is everything that I love about fantasy. It's the romance. It's the paranormal stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's the whole book. So it's not the parts that I skip through in the, you know, sometimes in the fantasy, I'm like, blah, 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 you know, getting to the good
right.
stuff. But yeah, I didn't even start reading paranormal until I was in my mid to late 20s.
Well, now, if our listeners want to follow you on your Bewitching book tour, that's
mm-hmm.
going on promoting My Defender. What social media sites can they go to find all the stops and get the information and follow you?
Well, they can definitely go to my website. I try to turn that into a hub where everything is located, and that is, of course, ElenaAlder.com. But I am on Pinterest. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. So if you want to find me, I am everywhere, and they usually link to each other. So if you can only remember one thing, just try to remember the website, because you can find every aspect of my social media on the website.
Okay. Well, give them your website address.
Sure. It's just my name. So it's Elena Alder. So it's ElenaAlder.com.
Great. Elena, you have been an absolute gem. I love talking to you. I think you're fascinating with all your mixed interests. And I want all the listeners to go out there and follow you on your tour. You also have a giveaway, and so they need
mm-hmm.
to definitely go in there and make sure they enter for the giveaway. You're giving away a mystery gift box, so everybody needs
yep.
to definitely check that out. And I just thank you so much for being our guest. Everybody needs to go over to do the book bub, you said it starts when to get the first book for 99 cents?
On the 24th, next Monday.
All right, the 24th. So everybody needs to go over there and grab that. And then on the 25th, grab the release of My Defender. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.